Welcome to Web and Beyond Live for September 20th, 2021. I'm Ray Sidney Smith. I am president of W3 Consulting and managing director of W3C Web Services, which provides affordable web and WordPress hosting, as well as domain name registration services, Microsoft 365 licenses, and other web-related services to small business. And of course, Web and Beyond Live is a weekly show about topical and timely small business digital marketing and related issues. Each month, I do a small business social media network or social network updates edition. And so that's what we're doing today. If you're joining me here live, feel free to join in the chat, ask questions. I'll be happy to answer them along the way. And if you're listening to the replay or listening to the podcast afterward, you can go ahead and leave a question in the comments or message me on Twitter at W3 Consulting, and I'll be happy to do my best to respond to those as well. And so, as I said, today we're going to be doing the small business social network updates. And so we have a lot of updates to get into. So let's get right into the show here. And starting off with Facebook and their ongoing travails as it relates to just transparency and other kinds of issues surrounding their business practices. And so, of course, some internal Facebook documents have surfaced about how Instagram purportedly does damage to young girls, so teenage girls. And so, of course, in light of all of that, I'm not going to get into too much of the internal document stuff, but in light of that, there is now going to be a Senate hearing. The Senate Commerce Subcommittee on Consumer Protection has decided to question the technology executives following this particular report about Facebook and its how Instagram impacts teens' mental health. And so Senator Blackburn, the Republican from Tennessee, she is the ranking member of the subcommittee, and she announced the hearing on Friday. And so interesting just to see the movement forward in terms of scrutiny coming to Facebook from both sides of the aisle. Both Republicans and Democrats are really vying to come after Facebook and really big tech generally. So that leads us to some more unfortunate scandal in the world of social media, and really the Team USA paintball player, Jessica, I'm going to pronounce her name wrong, Maiolo. She made some, seemingly, inappropriate statements. I didn't actually watch the video just because I don't want to involve myself in that negativity, but it was purported to be anti-vaccination and fatphobic toward this particular young individual, and she was kicked off the team. And the only point I brought this up at all was to make sure that we remind ourselves that what we're doing and saying on social media does have an impact on our businesses and on, real life impacts. And so it's really important for us to pay attention to what we are saying on, whether it's TikTok or Facebook or any other social platform, really paying attention to what we're saying out there, because it does, of course, it's being heard, whether you think it's not or it is. And so those things do, have repercussions. And so I'm just going to move along from that to, this is really interesting. We have quite a bit of TikTok news, and we have some Twitter news, and then Facebook, and then I think LinkedIn, and we have some other smattering of other social networks that have made some updates and some news around there. But up first is TikTok, and I found this very interesting article on TikTok's new promote feature. So this is akin to the idea of doing Facebook boosts. So if you know what Facebook ads boost feature is, this is akin to that in the TikTok world now. So TikTok has released this feature called Promote, and this Social Media Examiner article does a really great job of just explaining how to do a TikTok promote and the kind of functions behind it. So just a great article to check out later. And this is the article announcing it on TikTok's website, but in essence, it gives you the ability to quickly take a TikTok video and turn it into an ad in the platform. So it's just a very quick way in order to be able to turn a video to an ad, very similar to the way in which we turn a Facebook post into an ad in the Facebook ads platform. All right, next up, TikTok is in the process of building out a new development platform called Effect House, and this is an AR tool that allows you to be able to build augmented reality pieces. And we're going to talk a little bit about this throughout today's episode, remembering the fact that TikTok, as well as Snapchat and Facebook, are all working and vying to be the leader in augmented reality. And so just keep this in mind. I know I keep kind of beating this drum, but the reality is that augmented reality is the future of retail business, and we need to be mindful of that as we make our way forward in being able to build out digital experiences. So TikTok is building this new effect house. You can get to it by going to, I think, effecthouse.tiktok.com, and you are then taken to this place where you can log in. It's a beta platform, but if you are testing any retail stuff in Snapchat with regard to augmented reality, then you should certainly be checking out TikTok and what they're doing there. Next is just starting off some of the Facebook news. And I think this is Facebook news. If not, then I will move this over to the Facebook news. I'll come back to that. So we'll come back to that. Continuing on in the Instagram news, I'm going to move this TikTok news. I'm going to move this Instagram story over to the Instagram section, and we'll circle back to TikTok. Wonderful. Okay, so TikTok is launching a new shop section, and this whole shop tab, if you want to call it that, is in partnership with Shopify. It's just expanding their existing partnership with Shopify so that folks who do have a Shopify account and Shopify store are able to now utilize what's called TikTok shopping, which allows this select group of Shopify merchants in US, the United Kingdom, and Canada to add shopping features to their TikTok profiles. And so now you can go ahead and directly, go to an online store for checkout for products that are being seeded into the TikTok profiles. And this just makes a lot of sense. All the social networks are attempting to infuse e-commerce into their platforms. They want to make money from advertising. They want to make money from e-commerce. And you can see here that they are pushing forward in that way. TikTok is also currently testing the idea of increasing its video lengths. So this is just an article noting that they are seeing some accounts increase their video lengths up to 5 minutes. And so you might be one of those accounts. So just keep in mind that, these TikTok videos are getting longer and longer. YouTube and Shorts had increased their video lengths, Instagram to increase their Reels lengths. So we're seeing more and more of this come to pass as TikTok and YouTube Shorts and Instagram Reels really vies for ultimate attention there. Next up, it is Fashion Month. And so TikTok is doing a wide variety of events around Fashion Month. And so the TikTok community around the hashtag TikTok Fashion Month, you can check out what's going on there. I won't get too much into it because I really don't know much more about it than the fact that they are doing, several events and other kinds of fashion related runway shows and all kinds of other fun things here in the TikTok feed. So you can go check that out from this particular article. As well, TikTok is hosting what is called TikTok World. And this is their big virtual event of the year. And so TikTok for Business is doing this event. And this is akin to many of the other platforms' big events. Facebook has their F8 and YouTube does their own big events. This is a large event. And so if you go to the registration page from within the show note links, you'll find this registration page. You can go ahead and register for it. This is going to be on, I believe, September 28th. So we have about a week before the event. And so you can check out what the agenda is going to be and all of that fun stuff. They do have the agenda here on the page. And so you can see what's going on the day of 9:28. This starts at 11 a.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time and then runs to about 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time. So it's a short midday event and should be really interesting to hear what's going on in the world of TikTok. All right, next up, we're going to move on to Twitter. Twitter is launching a new section to the application called Twitter Communities. Communities is, in essence, I keep thinking of it as like the selective echo chamber. And so it's basically an area within the application where you can see all the tweets related to a particular topic. And I've already applied to be able to take over a Twitter community, to basically apply to get a Twitter community. And we'll see what happens with regard to that and Twitter's kind of perspectives on how Twitter communities will make its way into the overall application itself. In essence, if you have a particular topic, say that you love crocheting or something like that, the whole point is for Twitter to be able to give you that space where the users who are tweeting about that topic can go ahead and engage in that. And it can be both a public and private conversation among those particular members. Very interesting to see how this will all play out in the larger scheme of things. But I am curious to see how it will work because, you know, obviously Twitter wants to build community and engagement in this platform, and they have to be able to do this in a way that is profitable. So you'll see Twitter communities first roll out to iOS, and then they'll come to Android, hopefully, in the coming weeks or months. I mean, this is just a test right now, so it's still in its early days. Next is Twitter is experimenting with a new visual editor. This is bringing some of those tools that came from Fleets. Fleets was Instagram's stories type tool, and that allowed you to be able to go ahead and post these pieces to the top of the profile. You had little, you know, little circles at the top of your screen, which you still do technically because of the Twitter Spaces functionality. But these little small circles, you click on them and it would launch very akin to Instagram stories or Facebook stories or any of those others, where you would then see that that portrait style full screen image. Well, those tools are being baked into Twitter's editor. So now that you are capable of doing kind of like on Facebook, you know, where you type a message and it gives you the ability to do a color background and apply stickers, those kinds of things. All of those will hopefully come to the Twitter editor in that sense. So they're testing out that. Next is that Twitter is expanding its access to its professional profiles. This is all moving forward toward, again, the social networks are looking and vying for more e-commerce capabilities. And with the you know, turmoil around OnlyFans and other kinds of things, you know, Twitter is really just trying to, you know, take advantage of some of the impact there. And they also, I mean, they just need to find a foundational, you know, revenue source, and ads are one form of that, but they really want to be able to establish themselves in this community space. And so they've created professional profiles. Professional profiles, of course, then enable all kinds of business functionality in the platform. And so they are really working to get those pieces put in place, what the business iconography is going to look like, how those, you know, pieces are all going to come together. So they are giving that to more people. So you should check your own settings to see whether or not professional profiles are available to you. In line with that, they have now expanded ticketed spaces to more people. Ticketed spaces gives hosts of spaces, which is in essence these audio rooms available within the Twitter application, so that you can host paid spaces and therefore monetize your audience in some way, shape, or form. So that's really great to see. They are also introducing super follows. Super follows is a way to, in essence, have a specific set of tweets that are cordoned off behind a paywall. So only people who subscribe to your paid content will see that content. So people pay a monthly fee, and then that subscriber-only content is fed to them as a super follower. And so again, this is just another way for you as a content creator or others as content creators to go ahead and do that. The monthly subscription is set at $2.99, $4.99, or $9.99 per month. And that's just the way in which Twitter has set it up. It's very interesting to see how this will all play out and as to whether or not people really want to utilize Twitter in this platform perspective. You know, the early days of this were utilized by Patreon and other platforms like that. And now we have many, many more platforms. We have Buy Me a Coffee. We have Coffee, which is KOFI. We have many other platforms that are doing all of this. And so, you know, all of the social networks giving you these e-commerce functionalities and these membership management functionalities is quite fascinating. All right, next up in the Twitter world, more e-commerce stuff is coming. In essence, Twitter is trying out different types of shopping perspectives. Now they have added to your profile, or they're testing adding to your profile. This is still experimentation. So they've tested, and you can see here that they've added this purchases component. You know, if you open up your left navigation drawer on inside the Twitter application, you will see your profile and your list management and topics and bookmarks and moments. Well, now one of those will be purchases. And that will presumably be, if you're a super follower, you're going to see all of your subscription information related to your super follows. If you are shopping and purchasing items through Twitter shops, you're going to see those particular items in there as well. So very interesting to see how all of this will play out, including, I think there's some, you know, notion that if people are buying digital goods and digital items, those will also be available from within that space as well. Twitter is planning new privacy tools in as part of their overall, dedication to privacy. And so they announced recently that they're going to be adding a new functionality to archive tweets so that it allows you to hide old tweets at a specific amount of time. So say 30, 60, 90, or 360 days, you would then have the product, the tweets go ahead and just automatically, you know, hide them from the public view. This will be very interesting to see whether or not they add that to the platform, but this is kind of on the table. Another feature that they're adding is your ability to remove followers. This is a proactive feature whereby you're not blocking someone. In essence, you're just going ahead and clicking a button and it'll remove them from your followers list. They could always add you back to follow you again, but you know, it's just another mechanism for doing a silent removal of that person so that they're not just getting your tweets and then, you know, responding back with, say, harassing comments or those kinds of things. There's also an ability to potentially hide tweets you've liked so that people don't see the tweets you're liking, which, you know, is a kind of form of privacy that you might want. And then, of course, the ability to leave conversations. And so the goal here is to be able to, you know, remove yourself from a conversation once a conversation kind of gets heated, maybe, or there's just a lot of communications going on. You found yourself in a very public, high-paced conversation, you don't want to be included in all of those notifications. Being able to leave them is going to be useful. So these are just, you know, all potential items that Twitter is talking about. The most prominent one is the live test of the ability to remove specific followers, and we'll see what happens if Twitter takes that test and makes it a reality within the application. But I think all of those are really good options. One of the additional features that Google is out there doing right now is they're labeling bots so that you can identify whether or not there are good bots and any automated tweets that are happening. So I'll be curious to see how this all works out. I've used various numbers of automation tools over time to see, you know, which is going to be most effective and most efficient for us to be able to use in the business. And so I'll be curious how those bot notifications affect the overall usage of your Twitter account generally. In this particular case, it's noting that it's a bot account. And so I'm curious whether an account will be labeled a bot if only some of the tweets are, say, you know, automated versus those that are just, you know, occasional items or ongoing, basically always a bot. So it'll be curious to see how this all works out, but I think it's good for people to know what is automated and what's not automated in some perspectives, especially when it comes to, say, news and other kinds of items. So we'll see how that all comes to bear. All right, next is, and I think probably the most exciting thing Twitter is doing in the current past weeks, is they are utilizing a new tweet reactions functionality. They're currently testing this in Turkey, but they are in essence giving you the ability to utilize multiple types of reactions to tweets. So in essence, instead of just being able to click that little heart icon, when you click the heart icon, you will then get and be presented with five different options, which could include, you know, thinking face emoji, crying emoji, clapping emoji, the laughing and crying emoji, and the heart emoji. And so giving you more options to be able to respond to people instead of the general just heart on the tweets. So curious to see how this all works out. You know, Facebook has already done this for a long time. LinkedIn already has brought this out as well, so that you can have these, you know, more nuanced reactions to posts. And now Twitter is, of course, bringing this to pass as well. All right, on to Snapchat. Snapchat, just a couple of items around Snapchat. Snapchat is doing an update, has already done an update to its scan tool, and this is bringing more shopping options to scan. They've made the scan functionality a little bit more prominent in the app also. They've put it right there in the bottom, center of the application, showing you that they are committed to making the scan functionality a primary feature of the tool. And in essence, when you press and hold that scan button, you can scan things. So you want to scan yourself. You can scan a pet, plants, different products, things of that nature. And then it understands what's in the scan and tries to give you responses back to it. So for example, utilizing the retail example, they show you that you can in essence, use scan, and scan will say scan you and see a piece of clothing and then make recommendations to you. It can make recommendations that are shopping recommendations. Hey, would you like to buy a product or an accessory to this product? Would you like to purchase a digital version of that product for your Bitmoji, which is your digital character inside of Snapchat? So they're really working to utilize some of these functions, and again, using the scan technology in partnership with their augmented reality technology to be able to use AR scans and say, okay, well, maybe I want to try on a dress, or I want to try on a suit, or I want to try on some jewelry, and being able to overlay that on you directly within the camera view so you can see whether or not you like that particular product and then to purchase it. So Snapchat is really trying to push forward this notion of being a little mall in your pocket, and they are really pushing the edge of this technology and baking it directly into the Snapchat application, which is just brilliant. So keep this in mind and start thinking about how this, both physical products and virtual products, are going to make their way into your own retail business if you are in that space. Okay, Snapchat is also adding a birthday reminder element into its Minis app. So these are these mini applications within the overall application. And so Birthdays Mini is a way to remind you about people's birthdays, so you can engage, you know, with your customers or your audience to let them know that that you wish them a happy birthday. All right, next up is in the YouTube space. YouTube has basically cut the ribbon on YouTube Theater, which is a 6,000 seat venue in Hollywood Park in Inglewood, California. And so this is to be able to host live entertainment events. Really fascinating to see YouTube step into the physical space here with a YouTube Theater. And so, yeah, they launched this venue. The YouTube's marketing VP noted this as the world's largest virtual venue connecting artists and fans, and realized that the YouTube Theater would have the ability to blend the physical and digital together in new and exciting ways. And so this is a 10-year partnership with the Hollywood Park. Very interesting to see what YouTube Theater does with it. I know they have their first event coming up, I think in September here, and it's going to be a very interesting thing to see the YouTube Theater, how it's used, who's going to be utilizing the platform, and how they're really going to make this kind of a seamless part of YouTube altogether. Obviously, they want to bring notable names to the YouTube platform and make it something that people want to come to, make it a location. All right, while we're in the YouTube space, I also found this really helpful article on socialmediaexaminer.com about how to partner with YouTube micro influencers. And we've talked about this before, the importance of finding influencers, and specifically micro influencers that are local for your businesses. You're really looking for people who are geographically situate near you that can help bring physical traffic to your retail locations, but also you're just going to get a better chance of working with people when they are geographically nearby, when they're in the vicinity. So working with micro influencers can be really powerful for your business, but you really need to know how to do it. And this article walks you through that whole process. Okay, rounding out the YouTube updates is that YouTube has recently decided to reduce the number of subscribers you need in order to be able to have community posts. So community posts are basically on your YouTube channel, a space where you can post different things for your community that are not video. So you can post GIFs, you can post images, you can post text and engage your audience, like reminder notifications about going live or those kinds of things. And so there, that used to be 1,000 subscribers as of October 12th, 2021. They're reducing the eligibility to only 500 subscribers. So once you have 500 subscribers, you'll then be able to start doing community posts, which is, I think, great, because the more people who are using community posts, the more channels will be excited to be able to engage with their users on that level. All right, on to Facebook. Facebook has notoriously been difficult to get help from somebody live. And this article on Mashable walks you through the various ways in which you can reach out and access help and resources from Facebook in many different categories. And this is really number one question I get from businesses who reach out to me is, how do I get help? I can't, you know, something is wrong with my Facebook account and I need help. This article walks you through the various pieces. And so you'll find a link in the show notes regarding this and in the video description. So check it out. If you have any problems with Facebook, you should just bookmark this link so you have it in the future. All right, this is Latino and Hispanic Heritage Month in September, and so really exciting. And so the Latino or Latinx community is celebrating this month, and Facebook wants to be in on the action. So they have published their own guide related to marketing in that space. And so they have these insights and inspiration for Latinx and Hispanic Heritage Month and beyond. And so this is a guide for businesses. The guide itself covers how to honor the past and paving the future. It has actions to take. So diversifying your dollar, accelerate inclusive representation and sharing the stage. And so it has all of these various actions you can take within it. I haven't really read through the guide. I'm looking forward to reading through it later, but it's there and available for you to download now. All right. Also, Facebook is doing some labeling of Facebook shops now. And so this is, in essence, inside of the Facebook apps, both on Android and iOS, you will start to see Facebook's shops having a preferred label associated with them. What that means is that they will automatically attach to qualifying shops, basically shops that have been proving themselves to have adequate customer experience. These include free shipping, purchase protections, customer service, order tracking, and 30-day returns. And so these are things to help create and build confidence for users who are coming and utilizing Facebook shops. Of course, Facebook wants to increase the use of Facebook shops so that people are consistently coming back to the application and purchasing on it. And so this is a great way for them to be able to increase that confidence with the Facebook shops platform, with their e-commerce platform. Facebook has also gone ahead and provided new shopping tips. As crazy as it sounds, holiday shopping season is coming very soon, and Facebook wants to prepare you for that. So Facebook has gone out there and given you a wide variety of tips to help bring in new customers, to drive traffic during the holidays, and to really give you some tools for being able to do more business through shops and ads and so on and so forth. So of course, this benefits them in many ways, but your goal is to be able to learn how to effectively do holiday shopping. This is a great way to kind of figure that out. And so I'd definitely check out these tips that they provide. Facebook also put together last month, or early part of this month, a new guide for understanding verification on both Facebook and Instagram. And they provided here a really great summary of the items here. So I'll just define. They said, quoting here, what is verification? They said, at its core, verification is a way for people to know that the notable accounts they are following or searching for are exactly who they say they are, end quote. They then go down to say, how do I get verified? And they talk about the fact that you have to follow their terms of service and their community guidelines. And in the application process, they're going to go ahead and require the following things. Again, quoting here, your account must represent a real person, registered business or entity. Your account must be the unique presence of the person or business it represents. Notable entities, for example, pets or publications, are also eligible. only one account per person or business may be verified, with exceptions for language-specific accounts. Your account must be public and have an about section, bio, profile photo, and at least one post. Your account must represent a well-known, highly searched-for person, brand, or entity, end quote. So here, what we're really trying to do is to understand the criteria for verification and how to get verified with Facebook. This article gives us some really great information for being able to do that. And so if you do feel like you want to get verified, to get that little blue check next to your Facebook or Instagram profile, go ahead and check this this article out more thoroughly to learn more about that. All right, next up is Facebook announced a whole slew of new features coming to Facebook, and this is all around direct contact experience. And so I'm not going to go through all of them, but they've given you the ability to in an ad directly, send people to chat platforms outside of their typical Instagram direct messages, WhatsApp, and Facebook Messenger. They've given you the ability to start a WhatsApp chat directly from Instagram profiles. You can get a quote from Messenger, all kinds of really interesting ways in which you can go ahead and do that. They've added these new personalized experience features within the platform. And of course, most of these are related to direct from ad communications between the visitor to an ad and the experience connected to the business. All right. Facebook has also partnered with Ray-Ban to introduce Ray-Ban Stories. Ray-Ban Stories is technically a physical product. It is a pair of glasses that are similar to Snap's spectacles. As we've talked about in the past, the Snap spectacles are a pair of glasses that allow you to be able to take photographic imagery, video, and images. And this is Facebook's version of it. It's a little bit higher quality. Of course, they're Ray-Ban, so they have, I think, three or four different Ray-Ban styles of glasses, including, their popular Wayfair, style of glasses. And they, of course, have two cameras built into them so that they can take photo and video images. They also have speakers built into them so that you can listen to music and other kinds of things. So a really, really interesting perspective here from Facebook on this. This is not Facebook's first foray into the physical product market, the electronics market. They launched the Facebook Portal, which is that communication platform tool that they launched. And of course, it got a lot of flack out when it first launched regarding privacy and so on and so forth, but sales have steadily increased over time. So I can imagine that Facebook thinks the same thing of the Ray-Ban Stories. These smart glasses are going to be able to both be utilized throughout the day. You put them into a case, they continue to charge as you use them, and you have storage built directly into the camera, into the smart glasses cameras, so you can take some number of photographs and then be able to upload them to a bespoke application for Ray-Ban Stories. And those are, of course, tied to your Facebook account. I'm guessing they'll tie those into Instagram so that you can create Instagram stories. They're currently $300 USD, and it says they're available in 20 style combinations. I'm not sure what that really means in terms of the different, I'm guessing, colors and frame styles. And so this matches up with the Facebook View app. So that's the application that they've created for this particular tool, which allows you to import, edit, and share those pieces from the smart glasses to Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, Messenger, Twitter, TikTok, Snapchat, and more, it says. So very interesting to see how Facebook is making this play into the smart glasses space. And Amazon has their own, Snapchat has their own, or Snap has their own with Snap Spectacles. Amazon has their version of this, I believe, in partnership with Bose, or Bose created and attached it to it. So there's a lot of these smart glasses coming onto the market. Google Glass, of course, was the first in that market, but of course they weren't really stylish. They were more or less, very hyper-functional and a bit nerdy and geeky looking. And now these more fashionable frames are coming onto line and baking this technology into them. So again, we'll just see how much further into the future these all work. And it'll be really interesting to see once augmented reality comes to them, you'll be able to overlay content like Google Glass did. You know, Google Glass was a heads-up display where you're projecting information in front of you. Well, it'll be really interesting to see once those pieces actually come into the glasses in these Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and so on and so forth for a more rich experience. All right. Instagram is currently implementing a new link stickers concept to replace the swipe up functionality. So if you do stories on Instagram and you have more than 10,000 followers, you are able to have a swipe up to a link to anywhere you want to direct people. Instagram is getting rid of that and they are putting a link sticker into your sticker drawer. So when you post a story, and if you have the capability of putting links in, you'll be able to place that link sticker wherever you want in the story itself, so people can go ahead and click on it and be navigated to the terminal destination of that link. Instagram is also developing a new montage feature. This basically converts Instagram stories into reels. And so that allows you to be able to go ahead and take stories that you have connected in your Instagram account, and then it just basically gives you the ability to overlay some music and push that out to Instagram Reels. Again, they just want to continue to keep promoting the Reels concept, and so montage is that new feature. We'll see once the, it goes out to a larger testing audience and whether or not people use it, and how Instagram really supports that feature going forward. Next, Instagram is adding a map search to their platform. I think this is really, really fascinating and important for us all. The map search feature basically gives greater business discovery, right? If you're searching the map, you're going to be able to go ahead and do this. They're currently testing this in Australia and New Zealand, and hopefully they'll bring it to the rest of the globe soon. But this allows you to search, for info inside of a business listing. So make sure that your Instagram business profile has all of your information completed so that when people search for you, they're capable of going ahead and finding you. And of course, if they're searching posts that are tagged in particular locations, then your business is going to surface in those locations as well if you are the tagged location. So all good there. I think it's great to have that level of business discovery right inside of the Instagram application. And last but not least in the Facebook category is that Facebook is celebrating basically a full decade of Facebook Messenger. And in doing so, they launched a whole bunch of new features inside of Messenger. I'm not going to go over all of them. There are a bunch of different features, being able to, they have some AR effects, new sticker packs. They've got some gaming that they've built into it, the ability to do birthday gifting using Facebook Pay, lots of fun new tools that they've built into Facebook Messenger. So if you are a heavy Facebook Messenger user, go ahead and check out the new features that they've launched for their first decade of life. All right, WhatsApp, just a quick note about WhatsApp. WhatsApp is testing the idea of a business directory inside of the WhatsApp application. So in essence, when you are inside of WhatsApp, you can click on this new area within contacts, which is businesses nearby. You can then scroll through different categories of business. You click on those categories of business. The businesses that have WhatsApp profiles are then going to show up in that list. So really, really powerful here. Make sure that if you are on WhatsApp, that you make sure that you update your WhatsApp business profile to be accurate, to make sure that you're in the right category, all of those fun things, so that when people who are using WhatsApp search within that, they're going to find your business, especially if you're retail, product, or service. You want to be found in those spaces. All right, on to LinkedIn. Just got LinkedIn and then a smattering of other stories, and then we'll be able to close out for today. LinkedIn is deprecating LinkedIn stories and video and then shutting it down. So by the end of probably this month or so, LinkedIn stories will be gone. So they just decided to get rid of LinkedIn stories, and that panel above, where people could click on the various images and do it. This is fairly short-lived. I don't know what the data showed, but LinkedIn in essence, decided to get rid of the LinkedIn stories. So it's sad to see that, you know, they are getting rid of it. But at the same time, you know, if it wasn't working, it wasn't working. So goodbye, LinkedIn stories. In LinkedIn's mobile applications and on the desktop, LinkedIn is rolling out dark mode finally. So for those folks who are fans of dark mode, starting out basically today, you know, starting last Monday, that is, they are started rolling out dark mode. And so you'll now start to be able to see dark mode release across web and the mobile applications. And so you'll find those settings available somewhere in the platform for you to be able to switch between light mode and dark mode if that's your thing. Okay, next up is LinkedIn is in the process of giving LinkedIn company pages the ability to now do articles. Now, if you don't know what an article is, they're basically the long form posts that have been available to individual users for forever. You've been able to do it for a very long time. And so on your profile, when you click on creating a new post, you'll see the option to be able to publish an article. And then it takes you to the what was formerly known as Pulse, but that Pulse section, the URL still says Pulse actually. But you'll be taken to that section. And in that space, you can write a long form article, basically like any other long form blog post. You can write, embed images, that kind of thing. Well, now they are giving that to companies, pages. So now pages will be able to publish articles. To date, you've not been able to do that. And so now if you have a company page, you can go ahead and start publishing blog posts directly inside of LinkedIn. And I would highly recommend it. I mean, this, you know, it's a great, you know, LinkedIn.com has a great SEO in terms of ranking. And so putting those articles that are highly optimized for the search engines, they're going to get good billing and it's going to bring people and notoriety to your company pages. You just need to make sure you build out your company pages to be able to direct people to your business, to your product pages and otherwise, so that you're not losing the traffic that otherwise would come to you through your organic search results on your own blog or website. But if you're not blogging already, why not find a place to post it where you're going to get pretty, you know, strong, you know, organic results. Okay. Next up, LinkedIn has launched a creator accelerator program. And this is launching in the next month or so. In essence, they are rolling out this program and investing $25 million to help creators, quoting here, investing $25 million to help creators build their audience and amplify their voice. This 10-week incubator style program for up to 100 US-based creators will give accepted participants coaching, a built-in creator network, opportunities to be featured on LinkedIn channels, and a $15,000 grant to help them share content, spark conversations, and build communities, end quote. This is a great opportunity, so I highly recommend that you apply for the program. You have to apply before the end of Tuesday, October 12th. Okay, so Tuesday, October 12th is the deadline for the platform, and the link is in the video description and in the show notes. LinkedIn has also decided to expand and develop a new set of courses for their learning hub. And so LinkedIn created this, you know, learning hub, of course, LinkedIn owned by Microsoft. The learning hub helps businesses and organizations provide professional development and other training to their staff. And so in this particular case, they have given 40 new courses free of charge to LinkedIn members. And this is great. It gives them the opportunity to learn in that platform. So great that they're doing it. And I highly recommend that you check out the Learning Hub and see if any of the courses are good for you or your employees and share that with them because it's free. Why not have them have access to that information? On to just a quick note about Pinterest. Pinterest is testing a new tab they're calling Watch, and I'm guessing they are pulling together all of the various video items from either idea pins or otherwise, and they are streaming them into this Watch tab. Now, again, this is just a test. You know, only a small number of folks are seeing this test, so we'll see what happens as we make our way forward in terms of whether or not it'll come out to all of Pinterest, but it's interesting to see that they're testing something like this to, you know, bifurcate the browse feed from the video feed for watching purposes. Next is that Reddit has launched the idea of conversation placement inside for advertisers. In essence, you can now place an ad in the comment thread of a Reddit post. This is really, really fascinating to see Reddit make this next step into the, you know, advertising space. They've made a number of different updates to the platform in recent weeks. And this one, I just think, is really, really interesting because you can select a conversation that is really on point to your business and your product or service, and then place the advertisement directly in it. And so really highly contextual ads in that sense. Next up is Clubhouse. Clubhouse, of course, being the audio-focused platform. They have these audio rooms, just like Twitter Spaces, Facebook Rooms, otherwise. And Clubhouse has created a new space called Creator Commons. And this is, in essence, just a place with a bunch of best practices for you to be able to utilize and, you know, find information about Clubhouse. It's got a 101. It talks about, you know, education, planning and production, hosting and moderation, tools and technology, analytics, branding and monetization, all kinds of really great stuff here in this one centralized space. And so good on Clubhouse for creating that. All right. Next is that Clubhouse released a new feature called spatial audio into the platform. Spatial audio, in essence, means that if you put on your headphones, then you will be able to kind of hear as though people were in your general vicinity, giving you like a space for you to be able to listen to conversations in the round as though you're in, say, a roundtable environment. So interesting new feature. And I'm curious to see how that feature really comes to pass in real environment. I haven't tried it out yet, but I'm really looking forward to seeing that. And so with that, that actually brings us to the end of our show today and all of the various small business social networking updates. Hopefully this was useful to you in kind of contextualizing you know, what's going on in the world of social networks and how your social media on those social networks really ultimately impact your small business. Like I said, I do this about once a month and run through all of these updates so that you're armed with that information to be able to move forward and decide strategically which social networks you're going to use, which features you're going to use, and how the organization in such a dynamic way is really going to benefit your business. And so we've come to the end of our time together this week. If you've enjoyed the live stream, feel free to click the thumbs up icon. Feel free to subscribe to the channel and turn on the bell notification icon so that we can go ahead and be notify you when we do go live, usually Mondays around 11 a.m. Eastern. And if you have a question, feel free to leave a comment. You can also tweet or message me at W3Consulting, W3Consulting on Twitter. I'm always on Twitter, so feel free to do that. And thank you for thumbs-upping, you know, liking, retweeting, sharing these videos. That really helps us make new small business friends. So thank you again for doing that. Thanks so much for spending this Web and Beyond Live with me. I'm Ray Sidney Smith on behalf of W3Consulting and W3C Web Services. Have a great week ahead. Marketing your small business on the web and beyond.